So, who would like to get prophesied over? Okay. Okay, keep your hands up. Keep them up. Sorry, just bear with me here. Okay, Lisa. Okay, she's front row. See, front row pays dividends sometimes. Okay, Lisa, come up, please. Okay. So what we're actually going to do today, and we're actually going to have everyone in this meeting prophesy, every single person. And I'm actually going to show you, according to the Holy Scriptures, that is actually what God wants, every single one of you to prophesy. If you are a believer, God wants you to prophesy. And we're going to be doing that a little bit later. So to show you how easy it is, I'm going to pick up someone. I'm going to choose someone. Obviously, this person I'm going to choose is fairly seasoned in prophecy, but they haven't been forewarned. So Nadine, won't you come up, please? So I'm going to ask Nadine to prophesy over Lisa. And the reason why we're going to do this is this, we're hoping for a practical, if it goes well, and actually works, and Nadine finds the Spirit, which shouldn't be a problem. We are hoping that by you observing here, you're going to pick up tips. So this is where you need to be, like, taking notes, okay? So I'm going to actually, if it's okay, Nadine, I may have to pause you in a moment just to be able to tell the guys what you're feeling or what you're picking up or what you actually are doing while you're standing there with your eyes closed. That might be like, okay, what's she actually doing? So, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, so normally when you pray for someone, you can just lay hands on their shoulder, Nades, and I'll pause you in a minute. And then I would say, Lisa, just try open your spirit, yeah. Okay, pause. Okay, Nadine, what are you doing right now?
Praying in tongues.
Okay, so she's praying in tongues. Anything else?
Yeah, I'm thanking the Lord that he knows Lisa and he knows what he wants to speak to her and that he is a God who's able to speak.
All right, very good.
Lord, I want to thank you for Lisa. Lord, I thank you that she's your daughter, that you saved her, that you know her by name, that you have such good plans and purposes for life, Lord. Thank you that your Holy Spirit lives inside of her, God, and I want to ask that now your Spirit would come speak to her, that she would hear the very words of the Spirit, that it wouldn't be me speaking, but it would be your Spirit speaking. Come, Holy Spirit, rest upon her now.
Thank you, Lord. Okay, so I'm going to join in over here. Thank you, Lord. So, Nades, where are you at now at this point in time?
I felt a word for already when she got up. Yeah, so, I think it's good always to just create a space, because I might be in that space already, but Lisa might not yet be in that space. And that's why I just took some time, firstly, to invite the Spirit so that she can experience something of the Spirit before I'm just going to launch into it so that she's open to receive it. Okay. Lisa, so when you got up, actually, my eye was drawn to the tree outside and how the tree was just blowing in the wind. And immediately I was reminded of that scripture where the Lord says, so it is with everyone who's born of the Spirit, you know, and where it speaks also about how God's Spirit moves. And it says, we don't see the Spirit, but we see its effect, you know, on the trees, how it blows and whatever. And I just felt God say that he's so pleased with the way in which you are yielding yourself to the Spirit. Yeah, yielding yourself to the Spirit, that like that tree, I see you just starting to move like that with the Spirit. And I feel like God's saying that, yeah, that which is happening in your heart and that which you're doing, applying yourself in the secret place, that it will be evident to those around you, that you will start seeing the fruits of it, just your inner yieldedness, that you'll start seeing the fruits of that in your life and in your relationships and to, yeah, just whatever you put your hand to, more and more. So well done for yielding and keep yielding. For it's not the tree who does the work, the swaying, but it's as the Spirit comes upon the tree and the tree just yields to, yeah, to the wind, that the wind is able to move the tree. And in the same way, as you yield, as you just say, Lord, I'm available to your Spirit, come move through me, come blow through me, that God will do what he needs to do and that we cannot do. So keep yielding, keep surrendering, and allow the Spirit to blow and to move through you.
Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. I receive it.
You don't have to say that. I'm just checking. Okay, okay, awesome. As I joined them, I just got the word a daughter. So as soon as I feel daughter, then I know, okay, Lord, where do you want to go with daughter? So let me just, I'm trying to bring you into the picture of how I'm processing this. So I'm waiting on the Lord, I hear daughter. So let me just go there. So yeah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, so I just feel, Lisa, that God just wants to affirm you in the area of being a daughter, and he's calling to that. And I think that there's more identity that can come out of that. And I think the Lord wants you to draw strength from that, of that, that's, you know, we talk about sonship, but that encompasses daughtership as well. It's a son of God or a daughter of God. And Lord, I just want to pray that over Lisa right now, Lord. I just thank you that she is. So now I'm starting to pray what I felt, you know. So Lord, I just pray for Lisa. I just pray, Father, that she would even more so, Lord God, discover you as a father and her as a daughter, Lord. I want to pray against every lie. So now I'm picking up lies. I want to pray against any lie, Lord, that may have blocked that from happening, Lord God. And I want to speak your word over her, that she would know beyond a shadow of a doubt that she is your daughter, Father. So Lord, remove every lie in Jesus' name, Father. Wash it away, even as Nadine prayed, Lord, by your Spirit, by your wind, Lord. Let your wind blow. I pray for more times of refreshing with you. I feel like the Lord is saying there's times, just make the time, Lisa. Make the time, he'll turn up, he'll pitch up. Make the time, get alone and get refreshed. Thank you, Father. Amen? Amen. Thanks, guys. Let's give them a clap. Okay, so that's what I am preaching on today. I'm preaching on prophecy, but I'm also preaching on prophecy with a base of love. And I'm going to go into that first. But the reason why I wanted to do this is I wanted to give you guys a practical example of how easy it is to prophesy. Just wait on the Lord. Now, some of you guys would be like, I've never prophesied. I've got no confidence in this. I want to take you on a journey this afternoon that you would feel like the Lord is including you in wanting to prophesy, and I'm hoping later we'll break up. And anyway, I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, before we get there, if you want a title to the preach, we prophesy in love. So let's look at love first. And the first thing I wanted to say is, how often do we elevate one of our brothers or sisters around us because they love well? Because they excel in love, that we wonder in how well they love. It's easy to elevate the other gifts. If someone gets used in healing, to go, wow, they got used in healing. How amazing it is that David got used in healing. Or if someone was used in some other miraculous thing. It's so easy to marvel in that. But how often do we marvel at how well someone loves? That I might look at Lisa and go, she loves so well, and actually marvel at how well she's being used in love, in the body. And the answer, I think, for most of us is we don't. It's easy to elevate the obvious other gifts, but we don't elevate love. And we see that in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. It says, if I speak in the tongue of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. And every time you see love here, it's the Greek word agape, and I'll explain agape in a moment. I think most of you guys have heard that before. Verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, agape, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And I think for us, when we look at the word love, we think, well, what is love? Because there's so many different definitions of love. Is it the Hollywood version of love? Is it like nice feelings inside? What is love? Well, this scripture here uses a word called agape, a Greek word for love called agape. And in the English language, the Greek is actually superior in terms of often you'll find that there's multiple words used for in the Greek, and in the English is only one word. So in this case, the word is love, but we know that in the Greek, they use four main words for love. They use agape, which we'll explain. They use philios. They use eros is one, and the last one is storgos. So we find that for that reason, sometimes we struggle with what actually is love. So fortunately, Paul was really good to us and provided through the Holy Spirit a description of the love that God is talking about. And we find that in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. And this is the type of love that God is trying to put, is talking about. And here it is. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And as we look at that, we can keep that up, Paul. As we look at that, I think it must challenge us. Because I think that most of us fall ridiculously short. Are we always patient with our kids, with our friends, with our loved ones, with our spouses, with our work colleagues? Are we always kind? Every moment, are we always like that? So, however, the Bible calls us to have this as a target in our lives. 1 Corinthians 16, 14 says, do everything in love. And the word there is agape. Do everything in agape. And we have just read over what agape is. Agape is patient. Agape is kind. Agape always honors others. The ESV of 1 Corinthians 16, 14 says, let all that you do be done in love. And it's an incredible challenge to us. Do all things in agape? Did I do all things in agape today? Was I always patient? Was I always kind? Was I always to God's standard? Was I always slow to anger? That I always trust, believe the best, that I always hope, that I always persevere. That I always honor everyone. Was I not self-seeking? But here's the thing, is that God would never make a command to walk in it unless he felt it was possible. And that's where I want to call to our DNA. I want to call to our spirit. The spirit of Jesus is in you, and this is how Jesus loves. And that love can come forth from inside of you. Wells of love. And it is so powerful that Jesus says in John 13, 35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. And the word there is if you agape one another. And I really, really felt that as a vision for us, as a word for us, as the lead guy here and giving you guys vision, is I really feel that God wants to increase the agape, love, amongst us, so that if we were all boats and ships and we just above or scraping on reef and rocks and things that are wanting to make us sink, that as love rises, it'll be like the tide that lifts every boat and lifts every ship as love increases amongst us. And then as that love is perfected amongst us, people on the outside will say, they will know that we belong to Jesus because of that love amongst us. And that's our vision. And I don't believe that Jesus would command us to do it, to love agape, unless it was possible. And the reason why it's possible is he's given us a spirit. Without a spirit, we can't. And that the way that we love is not according to the likability factor of each one of us. We love because we love. I don't know what my likability factor is. Maybe to some people it's 2. To my wife, it's about 11 out of 10. So my child's about a 6. But whatever your likability factor is to other people and vice versa, that doesn't even come into the equation. You love with agape love, which means if someone comes off on the street and my physical eyes look at him, there's nothing to love. But if my spiritual eyes look and the spirit of Jesus comes forth with agape love, I see that homeless person the way God sees them, and I start to feel agape love for them. First Corinthians 16:13 gives us some guidance for our Christian walks. So as you go to work tomorrow morning and you need some vision for the day, there it is. You're a Christian in a dark, mean world. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be men and women of courage. Be strong. There's your instruction for tomorrow. Be on your guard. Stand firm in your faith. Be courageous. Be strong. And then the next verse says this, which is 1 Corinthians 16:14. Do everything in love, which is agape. It's like love must cover everything we do. And that means, and I think it's particularly important now during, as we've had like a year, over a year of drama with COVID, is that too many of us are looking with our physical eyes at even our own lives. And that's why so depression is at an all-time high. But depression or joy has got no, joy doesn't care. Joy in Jesus doesn't care whether there's COVID or not. It's still there. What's the problem is we started to look with our physical eyes instead of looking with our spiritual eyes. And when we look with our spiritual eyes, it's happy land. But if we look with our physical eyes, we're like, beam me up, Scotty. This earth is no longer pleasurable anymore. And that's what I feel is so important later as we start to prophesy of one another, is what we, and the importance of prophecy is that we seeing with our spiritual eyes. And I really believe that's important that we see with our spiritual eyes, but a basis for that needs to be love. Everyone good? Amen. Thank you. So this love, agape, it's not philios. No, so what is philios? Philios is buddy love. So, Daniel, why don't you come over? So, Daniel's one of my buds, or hopefully he thinks the same way. But she has buddy love, so he has some philios. Now, this is actually called Philadelphia, which the famous city in America is called. It comes from that. This is brotherly love. Okay, so that is philios. Is it agape? No, it's buddy love. Okay, so buddy love. Thanks, Daniel. Then we obviously know the famous one, eros, which is sexual love, where the word erotic comes from, which you may entertain only if you are married. And it's gone very quiet there. I've got it in my notes. I'm wondering if I should stick to my notes. I'm not sure. Okay, let's go back. I'm just a weak human. Let me go back to my notes. 1 Corinthians 13:47. As we go through agape again, which is not philios, which is not eros, which is not anything else. I just felt the Lord earlier just say, don't rush scriptures. Have a look at over that scripture. So as you look over it, because if this is the word of the Lord to us today, let it sink in. Let it sink into you. Because if this is what the Lord wants you to operate in, believe it. Don't look at that like it's for you. Don't look at like that like it's for someone else. That's for you. Love is patient. Love is kind. And so on. Amen? So do you accept the challenge? The Bible further challenges us on this point. In the ESV of Romans 12:9, it says, let love be genuine. Let love be genuine. The NLT is brilliant. NLT is paraphrased, which means it's not a literal translation. It says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Really agape them. And what is the Greek word for genuine? The Greek word for genuine is anupokritos. And pokritos gives us a clue. Without hypocrisy. Genuine, not phony. Anupokritos, without hypocrisy. So how are you at home compared to the public? Are you the same? How do you talk about people in private or at home? With honor? 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone. The NIV says, show respect. Do we have an ESV on that? Anyway, Paul. One of the versions says, honor everyone. So I actually looked up the Greek for honor everyone. It means honor everyone. So even at home, in private. Ecclesiastes 10:20 says, even in your thoughts, do not curse the king, nor in your bedroom, curse the rich. For a bird of the air will carry a voice, or some winged creature tell the matter. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just pray at this point. Father, just let your word sink into us, Lord, as Peter wrote through the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, honor everyone. Lord, what a challenge that is for us. Thank you, Lord. God is calling us to honor every single one. And I think there's a reason why Peter included the emperor, because Peter was later executed by the emperor. Honor everyone. If we go back to Romans 12:9, it says, let your love be genuine. What does Romans 12:10, the exact verse afterwards, say? It says this, after let love be genuine, it says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. What's the word for love here? It's actually not agape, it is philios. Be devoted to one another in philios or Philadelphia. So we see that you can mix in some buddy love too. And the word devoted? Philostorgos. It's a combination of two words. Philios, which is brotherly love, and storgos, which is family love. So, two words are grouped together there. Two different types of love are put together. And where do we find this type of love? Philostorgos. We find it in family, where we have a natural devotion to one another because we are the same family. You know, they say that secular phrase, blood runs thicker than water. That nothing is deeper than the bonds of family. Well, the Lord is calling us one family. He's saying that there's bonds between us that can be described as family because we are a spiritual family with one spiritual father. So now we've got storgos coming in. And in an ideal family, you're not only devoted to a family member because of your family bond, that you have same blood and DNA, you share same similar mother or father or both. It's also ideally because you're friends. So Donna's my wife, but ideally she's also my friend. So I've got storgos happening, I've got philios happening, I've got other love happening. But point here is that God is saying here that to be devoted in family love is that God is calling us for a devotion that is of a family type with mixed in with friendship. And that is coming after love must be genuine. And I think the best description in the English is be affectionate to one another. How are you with your family? Be affectionate. I remember my dad when I got saved, and I was a real punk when I was a teenager. You know, I was a dope-smoking bum. And my dad is so disappointed in me, and it caused so much tension between myself and my dad. But when I got saved, when I was 18 years old, God poured his love into my heart, and I went to my father, and I started teaching my father how to be a father to me and how I could model being a son to him. And I used to take my dad, come over here, Donna, because I can, okay. Okay, just my light is falling asleep. No, that's fine. Don't worry. That's fine. Okay. So he said, just imagine Don is my father. I used to take my father. And first of all, I used to go like this. And I could see he's a little bit uncomfortable. Because, you know, we didn't used to touch or anything because there was so much tension between us. But I could see he kind of liked it. And I just used to kiss him on the cheek. And he could see he was like this. But there was something inside of him that wanted it. And you know what? As the years passed, I hold my dad and I kiss my dad, and he loves it. Because I'm showing affection. And that is what I feel Paul is alluding to here. Love must be genuine, and we must be devoted to one another in love. And we understand what this is. It's brotherly love. It's family love. So, you're wondering when are we actually going to get onto prophecy. Okay, we're here. Point two, prophecy. We'll start with 1 Corinthians 14:1. Now, this is the part where I convince every person in this meeting, if you've given your life to Jesus and you have his Holy Spirit, and if you don't, we can resolve that during the meeting, hopefully, that you can prophesy. So here's my argument. Here we go. 1 Corinthians 14:1, ESV. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. So it is the book of 1 Corinthians. We see that Paul has just come out of 1 Corinthians 13, which is love. And the great description of love, and we see love highlighted in the first verse of 14. That's agape. So it's saying pursue agape. Okay, pursue agape. So every single one of us, Donna, just be agape for me for a sec. So just come over here and just try to walk away from me. That's agape. I'm pursuing agape. I might not be 100% getting it, but I'm pursuing agape, okay? So pursuing agape and earnestly desire, dot, 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 especially that you may prophesy. So here's where I'm establishing love as a base, because remember Paul put in 1 Corinthians 13, love, description of love, we did, agape, love is kind, love is gentle, and so on. And from that, he jumps into prophecy. And that is my message to us today, is that when we prophesy, we must prophesy in love. And I'll show you an example a little bit later where Jesus does exactly that. And when I say we prophesy in love, we must prophesy in agape. But on this point, that prophecy is for everyone, who did Paul write the book of Corinthians to the church in Corinthia? Well, at the beginning of the letter, he describes who he is writing the book or the letter to. So this instruction is that everyone must pursue love, and everyone must earnestly desire to prophesy. Is that just for the leaders, or is that indeed for every single saint? Well, let's look at the introduction to the book of Corinthians. So Paul says who he's writing this to. 1 verse 2, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy people, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. I'm kind of feeling that that's everyone. Does that look like everyone? I mean, I can't see. I mean, he's identifying Corinth. He's identifying those sanctified in Christ Jesus called to be holy. And then he's just going super global. Together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would say that's pretty much, if not everyone in this room. So that's his introduction. He is actually speaking to everyone, not just leaders, and asking you to earnestly desire to prophesy. Spiritual gifts, especially prophecy. If you are still not convinced, let me just settle it for you. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, my brothers. Now, the word there is actually adolphi in the Greek, which actually more accurately is my brothers and sisters. Be eager to prophesy. I kind of think that's everyone. Therefore, my adolphi, which is brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. I think that kind of covers it for everyone. I mean, this is not Joey, this is the Bible. The connection I already made between love and prophecy. That my target is always agape as a base or platform for my prophecy. We know this because of the outcome of prophecy. So 1 Corinthians 14:3 tells us what the outcome of prophecy is. So why did Nadine prophesy over Lisa? This is why. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men or women for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. Now, Lisa, I'm going to put you on the spot again. Did you feel strengthened, encouraged, and comforted? Okay, she did, because I also saw tears in her eyes as well. And that is what the prophecy is. And isn't that also the outcome of agape? Because if we're operating in agape, I would imagine that the results of that would be strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So we see the connection between love, agape love, and prophecy. And we see how Paul even highlights it in 1 Corinthians 14:1, where he says, pursue love, agape, and especially the gift of prophecy. Are you guys making the connection too? So before we prophesy over someone, we must first get a sense of God's love for them or agape for them. And we can see this in the classic example of Jesus in Mark 10:17-22. There's an interaction between Jesus and someone. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 18, why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. I looked up the Greek. It is agape. Jesus looked at him and agape'd him. And this is where you're accessing agape love before you prophesy, because we see straight after that that Jesus prophesies or speaks into his life. And he identifies them. Because remember, prophecy sees as the spiritual eye sees. So in the physical, Jesus would have looked at the man who was, we understand, as a rich young man. And he would have seen prosperity, all is well. But Jesus in that moment looked with his spiritual eyes and he saw that this man was heavily in deficit because he was a slave to money. And so he prophesies after accessing agape, go sell everything you have and give to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And here's the point, is accessing agape before we prophesy or speak into each other's lives doesn't necessarily mean that we're not going to ruffle feathers. Because we know the outcome of this interaction between Jesus and the rich young man is, did Jesus access agape love? Yes, it says there, Jesus agape'd him. But then we know that after that interaction, that in verse 22, we know that he left. This made him very sad. But the reality is, Jesus was, if I can paraphrase his prophecy over the rich young man, was, riches are an idol or a hindrance to your heart. For where you are at right now, you need to lay them down. And so, prophesying over people in agape love is not necessarily telling them what they want to hear. Sometimes it's telling them what they don't want to hear. So you can be operating in agape love and still bring an admonishment, but you still try to do it in love, according to agape love. So I didn't feel anything for Lisa, but in the previous session we prayed over another lady, did exactly the same example, and I felt for her that she wasn't speaking enough about God's goodness in her life. So actually what I'm doing is I'm bringing like a correction. I tried to do it in love, and I think she received it well. But the reality is that when we prophesy, we got to be prophesying what the Spirit is saying. We're not just here to tell people nice things. And we see there that Jesus agape'd him, but still told him what he actually did not want to hear, but was actually what was going to bring him life. Does that make sense? Okay, are you guys ready to prophesy? So before you do that, I'm going to give you four rules, okay, or guidelines. Guidelines is better. Can I just have a quick drink of water before we go? And then we'll go. So in the previous session, why you guys had to wait in the foyer so long is because the session went so long after the guys were prophesying. So feel free to do the same. So, number one, test everything. So, 1 Corinthians 4:1 says, "Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world." 1 Thessalonians 5:20 says, okay, so let me pause now. So, it's saying that when you receive a word from someone or a prophecy from someone, it's not guaranteed that that's from Jesus. And it actually encourages you to test it. Now, I would say it's very much weighted on that we are believing it's from Jesus. So I know Nadine, I know her walk, I know what she's reliable, I know that she's been with us for a while, I know that she loves the Lord, I know that she doesn't have any apparent sin in her life. There's no reason on earth that I shouldn't open up to her speaking into my life. Does that make sense? However, I could still hear something from Nadine that may not necessarily be the Lord, because Nadine ate too much pizza last night, and 80% was Jesus and 20% was pizza. Does that make sense? Does anyone else have like pizza dreams, like after heavy? Because to be honest, I don't actually really. I just used Andrew's example because Andrew always talks about, anyway. So maybe you guys, but you know what I'm saying. So, But you might then think, well, if prophecies are sometimes just man and not God, it may want us to despise it and say, I don't want prophecy because it might be wrong. But actually 1 Thessalonians 5:20, which is the next one, says, do not treat prophecies with contempt. You've got to receive them because by and large, they are good. But do not treat prophecies with contempt, 21. If you've got it, Paul, 21. But test everything. Okay, so if you get a word that's weird, come to a leader and get perspective. I've had like crazy words. Ask Donna. I've had words that are like smashed me for a week. And I was like, I suck. I'm no good. I hated that. I thought I was going to get a good word. I got a bad word. And I processed it with my elder at that time, Doug Conn from AM. He processed that with that word with me. And we found the Lord together in the word. I would have paid 10,000 rand for that word. Like if I just want to put a monetary quantity. It said that I was going to have an issue with the elders. And beware. And I tell you what, it was a shot across the bow. You know what a shot across the bow is? It's a shot where it doesn't hit the ship. It's just a warning shot. Jesus is saying, hey, you, getting cocky. Hold your line. That word was priceless to me because it just went, know your place. Do you understand? And if I had to put a monetary value on that word, the word that I despised and I hated, Donna, honestly, I would have paid 10,000 rand for it. Because that was worth 10,000 rand to me if I had to just put a quote. Does that make sense? What I thought I hated, I actually would have paid money for it. Because what we hear sometimes is not what we want to hear. It's sometimes what we need to hear. Why is everyone laughing? Because we share our finances. I mean, got to ask permission. Okay, so we test all prophecies. That's why I very rarely say, thus saith the Lord. I'll tell you what, I usually say, I feel the Lord is saying. Look, I know there are some thus saith the Lord guys amongst you. That's on you. So if you're not sure about a prophecy or prophetic word, check with your leader and so forth. Or a trusted friend. Number two, and this one is going to freak you out, but those that have processed this well will understand it. Ezekiel 14, 3 to 4. Beware of prophesying into people's idols. You're going to get sucked into something, and I'll explain it in a moment. Well, here's a scripture. Son of man, these men have set up idols in their hearts and put wicked stumbling blocks before their faces. Should I let them inquire of me at all? Therefore, speak to them and tell them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. When any of the Israelites set up idols in their hearts and put a wicked stumbling block before their faces and then go to a prophet, I, the Lord, will answer them myself in keeping with their great idolatry. So how that works is when you get prophecy into your heart, there's a purity level. So, Sheldon, come over here, if you don't mind, please. So when Sheldon prophesies over me, he kind of knows quite a lot about me. So that could influence his prophecy, what he speaks into my life. So the prophecy is kind of pure. But, I mean, some of it might just be from him, okay? So thanks, Sheldon. Okay, who doesn't know me at all? Okay. Okay, Seb. Okay, Seb does actually. But let's just imagine Seb doesn't. Okay, Seb, come up. So let's just, Seb doesn't know me from a bar of soap. Doesn't even know if I'm in the church or out the church. When he prophesies, if my spirit's open and he's prophesying according to the spirit, that's a freaking, sorry, is that a bad word? That's a very pure a prophecy. Because there's nothing tainting it. Does that make sense? Okay, now, so you guys understand the purity of prophecy. So let's just say I've got an idol in my heart, okay, according to the scripture. Let's just say I desperately need to get married because I'm unmarried, okay? So I'm rushing to the front for prophecy because I just want marriage prophecies because I want to get married yesterday, okay? But let's just say that's not an Isaac on the altar. I've not put that desire on the altar at Jesus' feet. I've not died to it. I've not said, Jesus, if you want me to be single for the rest of my life, it's going to hurt like crazy. But God, you said that my life is surrendered to you. You'd ask me to be a living sacrifice. I will. Because I know that life is short and marriage is going to be full on too. So, and single has its perks as well. So, let's just say I haven't done that. Let's just say I haven't surrendered my desire. Let's just say I've got a marriage prophecy now. I can actually suck a marriage prophecy out of him, according to the scripture. And he can start prophesying and suddenly he starts feeling marriage. But God doesn't have marriage for me. It's because of this thing, it's an idol that he's prophesying into. And that's why we have guys walking around. Thanks, Seb. That's why we have guys walking around with prophecies that may be according to their idols. So if you want an absolutely pure prophecy, theoretically, you have a person that doesn't know you from a bar of soap, and you come before that person with no idols in your heart. You come before that, you come before saying, Jesus, you came to the earth to die. You're a brother. I'm a brother to you for what you've done to me. I've also come here to die. You have my whole life. If you want me to go live in England, which I actually did live in for 6 months, and I wouldn't want to. But if you want me to live in England and not serve, for that's your glory, for your glory, come, Lord. I'm a living sacrifice. I've come here to die. I'm not coming here to live. And I tell you, if God's desire is for me to go live in England and not surf anymore, that person doesn't know me from a bar of soap will prophesy, and God will be able to tell me so pure what his thoughts are, because I'm open to anything. And that's the purest prophecy you could ever get. A pure heart coming from someone that doesn't even know your bar. So it doesn't make sense. And I see that some, but don't feel blind that you know the, don't feel bad that you know the person. But I'm doing concepts. Okay? So beware of idols. And I do believe there's guys walking around with prophecies, claiming these prophecies that actually just according to the scripture, you just prophesied into the idolatry in their heart. Okay, 2 points. Number three. Try prophesy with the same gender, okay? So, if you're male, prophesy with another male, female with another female. I'll tell you why. When you prophesy, it can be very intimate. And I'll tell you why it's intimate. Because as you prophesy, and you would have felt that a bit here when Lisa was up, when Lisa started crying, Nadine was prophesying, the deep things of God are being revealed. There's a lot of agape starting to flow. Then there's some philios starting to flow. Then there's some storgos starting to flow, and we don't want eros to flow. Okay? So it can be a very intimate time. So we don't want a man and a woman prophesying over one another. If you feel that the Lord has asked you to have a word for, if you're a man and have for a woman, we know that Jesus prophesied over the Samaritan woman. So we have precedent. We suggest take someone else. If I'm going to prophesy over Lisa, I'll just grab one of the other ladies. I've got a word for Lisa. Why don't you just join me? Then there's three of us. Don't go alone. If it's a woman and you've got a word for a man and you need to be obedient to that, grab another man and say, hey, I just got a word for that man. Why don't you come with me? It's not going to get too cozy. Okay? Everyone getting it? Okay. And the last point, have a go, don't be nervous, wait for the Holy Spirit, make yourself available. So, I've asked some of the deacons in the previous session, we've got fair representation here. Some of those deacons, feel free to cruise around, and then if saints need help in this area, because some of you may never prophesied before, and I'm hoping that what we call prophetic activation. So you guys are being activated tonight. I'm hoping that some of this activation will actually overflow to your community groups on Wednesday. So you might be sitting around. Listen, there's nothing cooler than the comm leaders organize nothing for the evening, and you're sitting around with a bride, and your spirit's open to Jesus, and you just sense their spirit's open, and you're just like, I just really want to pray with you, and I just feel the Lord saying, just sitting next to the bride. Why not? And just letting that ministry flow. I would love to see that. Because remember what we're trying to do now is we're trying to see with spiritual eyes and tell people what God is seeing for them. But remember, before that we do that, you need to access agape love. Otherwise, that's also going to taint how you pray. You can't pray according to the flesh. And if you're not sure what to pray, and Nadine did it well, just start. Just start with blessings. Like, if I just want to bless my wife, I don't even need to wait on the Lord for this part. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you just blessed on her. I know that she's a woman of God. Lord, I just want to pray blessing. So I haven't even accessed God for that part. I'm just praying blessing because I know that's scriptural. Then I start to wait a bit. I can see she's starting to open up a bit now. Lord, I just thank you. Lord, I see that you can see, and I start to mention whatever I'm seeing, yeah? So just ease into it and be open. I truly believe from this message today that God intends every single one of you to prophesy. Did you see it? I saw it. Brothers and sisters, Adolphe, that's every single one of you eagerly desire to prophesy. But as we can see, the prerequisite, and we can see Jesus even do it, access agape. You've got to feel what God feels for people. Otherwise, don't even prophesy. If I'm going to pray for David, I've got to feel what God feels for David. Like, so what is God? I kind of like him. No, I do like him. No, I totally like him. But that's not even on the point. That's just philios or storgos. I've got to find agape right now. Even Jesus found agape. So, God, how do you feel about David right now? And then I've got to feel the Spirit of Jesus in me. Okay, I could start to feel it. And then I suddenly see vision. But the vision is birthed out of love. Does that make sense?